Remember peace in the Middle East? Wasn't that awesome? Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, as you probably know, even if you only barely scan the headlines, Hamas is back at war with Israel, launching I don't even know how many missiles at Israeli airports, civilian areas, Jerusalem, the very capital of Israel. I don't know how many are dead. It's a scene like we haven't seen since Barack Obama was president. And I can blame exactly one man for all of this, and his name is Presidentish Joe Biden. What really set me off wasn't so much the missile attacks, but that this whole thing is so avoidable. I read a great article yesterday in Tablet Magazine. It's called The Realignment. And I just want to read this one quick paragraph from you. It says, even the Israelis have yet to absorb the full scope and magnitude of Biden's accommodation of Iran. A consensus reigns inside the administration, not just in Obama's Iran deal, but on every big question of Middle East strategy. Everyone from the president on down agrees about the need to complete what Obama started, which means that the worst is yet to come. Gentlemen, looks like Hamas's renewed war on Israel is just a down payment on a whole lot of awfulness. Bill, let's go to you first. You know, we've seen A and B. A was Obama's approach, 8 years of accommodating Iran, and it was awful. We got 4 years of B, which was not accommodating Iran, keeping the Palestinian terrorists on the defensive. And as a result, peace was blossoming between Israel and neighbors that they've been technically at war with since 1947. So, Bill, when you have A that didn't work and B that does work, why do you go back to A?
This is the question that plagues mankind, Steve. If you wonder where peace in the Middle East went, it's in Mar-a-Lago. That's where it is. And the point you bring up is the one I was going to make, and that is, this is not like a debate over apple pie and cherry pie. There is actual evidence on the table here. There's and not just marginal evidence. There's compelling evidence on the table here, and it would make you wonder why people who care about Israel continue to vote for these people when it's clear that Joe Biden is basically repeating Barack Obama's policy of chumming up to Iran, which has been at war with this country since 1979. When you put it this plainly, because that's what it is, I'm left without an answer for you. I don't know why people would go back to a policy of not only aligning ourselves with, but funding and arming a stated enemy of the United States that's referred to us as the great Satan and Israel as the little Satan since 1979. And so we're going to pivot away from the idea that the Iranians are the guys who are sponsoring all the terrorism in the Middle East, at least all of the Shia terrorism in the Middle East anyway. And we're going to chum it up with them again. And we're going to abandon Israel, which is not, and by the way, for those people out there who have a problem with Israel, let me just say this. You can obviously entitled to your opinion, but when we were centering our foreign policy around being friends with Israel, there was peace in the Middle East for everybody. It wasn't just for Israel, and it wasn't at the expense of other countries. How many countries did the Abraham Accords bring in? Was it five, Steve?
Seven, I think, was the final figure.
Okay,
and it would
great.
Have grown to the it would have grown exponentially. Well, not exponentially. It would have grown if Trump had been in office longer.
Right. Yeah. So you've got this 70, 80-year deadlock, which is finally broken by a president who has the – forget wisdom and forget genius, who just for a person who can look at a board and see which pieces are red and which ones are black. I mean, that's really all it takes. Decides to ally himself and our country with our actual friend in the region. And when it became clear to the people who are not our friends in the region that we were going to stick with this and the Abraham Accords happened because Donald Trump moved the Israeli embassy to Jerusalem, period. That's it. That's why all of this stuff happened. When he did that, he made it clear to all the people who had thought that time was on their side, like the Palestinians and the Iranians, let's just delay and America will make more concessions. Israel will make more concessions. We'll get more pallets full of money. When he said, no, capital of Israel is Jerusalem, and that's where the embassy is going to be. When he made that statement, he basically flipped the entire dynamics of the Middle East and made the people for whom time used to be a friend, now time was their enemy. And over the course of a remarkably short period of time, once it became clear to other nations in the region that we were serious about this for once, everything fell into place and we had harmony and peace and what, 6-7 potential peace treaties on the table. But we're going to throw all that away because orange man bad. And a lot of people are going to die because of that. And I don't have anything else to say other than that if you are one of those people that are concerned about the Middle East, either side or both sides, and you voted for this administration, you made the wrong choice. And that is going to become much clearer in the weeks and months to come, unfortunately for them.
Yeah. it's ugly. Scott, former President Donald Trump, bless his heart, having been kicked off of every respectable social media site, has basically started a blog. It's like 2002 all over again, back when I was one of the first political bloggers. It's an exciting time if you want to reminisce like I do over those days. But he released a statement on Tuesday, and it said in part, "When I was in office, we were known as the peace presidency because Israel's adversaries knew that the United States stood strongly with Israel and there would be swift retribution if Israel was attacked. Under Biden, the world is getting more violent and more unstable because Biden's weakness and lack of support for Israel is leading to new attacks on our allies," so says the former president. Scott, I'm so old, I remember when Trump was going to bumble us into some foreign war. And yet here we are just not even 4 months into the Biden presidency. And we are maybe closer to war in the Middle East than at any time since Syria descended into civil war. And Barack Obama made a bunch of stupid statements that made it sound like he was going to bumble us into war. I guess my question, Scott, is how do Republicans get the reputation for warmongers when we have the evidence before us time and time again that that's just not the case?
The reputation they should have is one of moral clarity. And that is what's, sometimes people say that, almost sardonic phrase, peace through superior firepower. And there's a little humor being injected in that. But it's not inaccurate. But the real issue there is not superior firepower. It's superior morality. It is clear moral positions that let people know where you stand. And so, I have a little brother, not so little, but he years ago got a black belt in one of the martial arts. I never knew him to get into a fight during the time that he had the black belt in the martial arts. And he never needed to because just the way he carried himself had there was authority in the way he carried himself. He was not a bully. He was not cruel to anybody. He was always kind. He was always gracious and nobody messed with him. And there's a way that you can just see that this guy can handle himself and he means what he says. And I respect that. And that's what happens in the Middle East. When you lay down moral clarity, like saying, our embassy is going to be in the capital of this country. When you say Israel is our friend and anybody else who wants to be friends with Israel is also our friend, you're reaching out with an open hand and basically saying, hey, let's have commerce instead of squabbling. Let's bring life to the region. Let's make the desert bloom as Israel has since 1947, instead of making this desiccated, burned out region where people have nothing but misery. I think the problem comes on, especially on the left in this country, is they see the Palestinians as an oppressed people, and for no other, I'm trying to find a better way of saying this, but basically we're empathetic or sympathetic to the Palestinians because they're incompetent. So we look at them and we go, oh, well, look, they're throwing rocks, but the Israelis have, a cutting edge weaponry and they're, launching missiles at random. They can't even target their missiles. The poor people are doing the best they can, taking food out of their own mouths to make missiles that fire at random and can't hit the broadside of a barn. And so we
feel— They're doing their best to kill millions?
That's right. They would love to be able to kill a lot of Jews, but they're just not able to do so. And so my heart goes out to them. Bless their hearts. That is this kind of view on the left that the asymmetry of power between Israel and the Palestinians means that on its face, Israel is bad, the Palestinians are good, because they don't have the ability to defend themselves. Israel has just made a decision many years ago that we are going to carve our living out of the desert, and we are going to defend ourselves, and we will welcome everybody, we will treat everybody well, we will conduct a democratic form of government, we will welcome refugees from Africa. You know, there have been many plane loads of refugees coming in from Africa. We welcome the world. But do not mess with us. I thought the interesting thing is once the missiles started launching again from the Palestinian territory into Israel, Israel hit some military installations, including tunnels. And it was only later, after I read the story, I thought, wait a minute, Israel knew exactly where those tunnels were. They hit the tunnels. They knew that Palestinians were using tunnels to infiltrate Israeli territory and to cause trouble, but they only hit them after the Palestinians started throwing rocks and randomly firing missiles.
Yeah, Scott, you remind me, before I get to the serious stuff, a brief moment of levity. You remind me of one of my favorite stories. Back during the first Gulf War, 1990-91, Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, was at the time Israel's ambassador to the U.S., and he appeared on CNN quite often as the ambassador, and he was on Crossfire one night during the Scud phase of the first Gulf War, when Israel was not responding to Scud attacks on their own country from Iraq while we tried to deal with the Scud problem for them. No country in history had ever faced this kind of attack and then not retaliated. And Netanyahu on CNN was asked if the United States was providing Israel with any intelligence help in how to deal with this Scud threat. And completely deadpan, because you know how good Mossad is, completely deadpan, Bibi Netanyahu says, Israeli intelligence is not so bad, you know. And that was all he needed to say. Mossad is either the best in the Middle East or there's no more Israel. It's really that simple. Another thing that's simple is we've learned over the last 4 years how to create peace in the Middle East. There's really, under the current setup, only three things you have to do. You keep Tehran broke, you keep America energy independent, and you don't equivocate on our support for Israel. Joe Biden has undone all three of those policies. And if we get out of the next 4 years without a major war, nobody is going to be more surprised than me. And that's your Right Angle on That, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.